Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Awakenings. Awakenings is a program that features interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, guests, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are awakening or are awake and integrating this awakened state into their everyday living. Awakenings also features artists, musicians, people that are really taking this process of awakening and using it to transform their lives and the lives of others. I'm Michelle Mache, and I'm your host, or as I like to say, your co-pilot in the converging flow that Awakenings is a part of. So we meet here. We meet to connect, to learn, to share, to grow, and most importantly, really, to share our path and our insight, if you will. And that's really what I get from a lot of the people in the chat or that call in or the emails that I get in and even the guests that they notice something different. And I, as you all know, that the chat room has been renamed. It's called the Sacred Space of Empowerment. Now, I put those words together because we had a couple of people, I believe it was Tammy that wanted Sacred Space or Empowerment. So a couple of people had different names for it. So I think that's summing it all up. Because people really are coming to get empowered and refreshed. I think one of the hardest things is when you are becoming more conscious or you're living your life more consciously aware, it's the people around that are not as conscious. You know, so sometimes things can be a little bit, you know, taxing. And sometimes one of the ways, in a sense, that we quote-unquote lose our way is we lose it with others that perhaps are not as awake or as aware or not living as consciously. So it is a test of our patience. And years ago, one of my teachers said, once you're awake, once you're aware, once you're living more consciously, you know better. And you know the saying then, that why ignorance is bliss. Because people, when they're ignorant, you don't know. And so you really can't fault people for something that they don't know if they're not having this connection or this opening. You can share what you know, but if people aren't receptive, then you really have to move on because their life as it is just as connected, even though it may not look at it. They still are a divine emanation of God. And so this teacher of mine, Dr. Hahn, which I'm trying to get him on the program at some point, amazing being, amazing teacher, sort of transpersonal therapy with him as well as transpersonal psychology and hypnotherapy and NLP. And he actually made me a fellow of the board of National Board of Hypnotic Anesthesiologists. So after my book came out and a couple of my CDs and because of the work I was doing in the community. So for that was, I, you know, really jazzed and charged about that. Learned a lot from him. I think it's great to have great teachers and mentors, as well as our own inner teacher or mentor. But in all fairness, for our own inner teacher, our own inner guide, to be able to really get through to the ego personality part of us, it needs a little retooling, a little, you know, we need to do our inner work. We need to clear mentally, clear the beliefs, limiting beliefs, clear emotionally so that that energy and motion is really dynamic in our life so that we become this fine vehicle or vessel for God, for the all that is. And in saying that, we're already perfect, whole, and complete as we are. I just like to say on the ego personality level, sometimes we need little tune-ups, little adjustments. So something else that Dr. Hahn had told me at one point was that when you're the aware one, you're the conscious one, it's up to you to do what's right. And how many of us, you know, and I see people already on the line and I see people in the chat, think of this, how many, you know, you take all these classes, you get therapy, healing, the books, I mean, you're doing it all, right? And to some degree, knowing it all, right? And then we look around at the family members or friends, or I get this a lot with friends of mine and clients of mine that work in corporations, very taxing, can be very taxing environment. And don't we all look around and say, how come they're not, you know, changing? How come they're not aware? How come they're not conscious? They should know better. They shouldn't be doing this behavior. You know, or I'm really trying because I'm doing all my, you know, all my inner work. I hear this a lot from my clients. I'm doing all my inner work and my husband isn't changing, or my boyfriend is still doing the same thing, you know, or my boss, I try to talk to him. You know, I'm doing all this clearing work. I'm my life is more conscious and I'm living better and he's still the same. And in the words of Dr. Hahn, that's right, because they're not doing any of it. They didn't change. They didn't embark on this conscious path, on this level, this dimension. So guess what? Those that are embarking on the path, those that are living more consciously, we have to be the ones doing the change. Eventually, people sometimes do change or make positive changes because of us being an example, but not necessarily so, and not necessarily consistently so. So I learned that a long, long time ago, and it was a hard little lesson, a little hard. First of all, it was a hard little pill to swallow, and then it was a hard little lesson. But over the years, I have really seen it come to be true, that if you're the aware one, you're the conscious one, it's literally up to you. It's actually metaphysically and spiritually, it's your responsibility to be the conscious one, the aware one, and take the high road, because you know what to do. The other person doesn't know what to do. Otherwise, they would already do it. So that's, and that's, of course, you know, if you go back to the Bible of turning the other cheek, doesn't mean that you become a doormat or let people hit the other cheek or walk over you, you know, or on top of you. It's just that if someone doesn't know, forgive them, Father, and the Father meaning there be the universal law. Don't let them incur an unjust wrath because they don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant right now. So we can basically, that's passages, we can redirect this energy. Even though what was just done to me was hurtful, you know, I'm gonna have some boundaries here. Let's put it modern terms. I'm going to have some boundaries here, and I'm going to kind of just move it on down the road because this vibration isn't a match. So imagine if we lived this in our life this way. Imagine if we lived our life this way. There would be so less conflict, so little conflict. Because so much of our conflict is trying to change other people. Since I started years ago, which I use, my 5-step emotional clearing and the projection perception, since I started doing that years ago, I have very, very little outer conflict. Now, I'm going to be honest because I see a lot of people in the chat that I know and I care about, so I can reveal here. I will not have the conflict on the outside, but I'll have it on the inside, which is okay. So I'll work through it because I recognize what I'm going through is usually my own inner conflict, or I'm working something out, or maybe triggered from something in the past. And maybe a quarter or a third of it is something I need to bring up with someone else. And for me, it's very empowering to be able to do that. To just know, wow, maybe something's being triggered here and I'm moving through something, because that means I'm going to be that much clearer. So every time we clear, you guys, every time you do some emotional clearing, every time you have a realization or an understanding or an aha, you have an aha moment, you have that epiphany, you know more. It's like wiping the soot from the window. The window of your mind, it becomes clearer. Your mind becomes clearer. Your emotions become clearer. And thank you, Tammy, in the chat, is saying that's a helpful disclosure. Yes, just between you, me, and everybody that's listening and going to be listening on iTunes and everything. But I think it's important to be honest. I think a lot of spiritual, quote-unquote, teachers, authors, et cetera, don't, for some reason, yes, Kirk, exactly, just like the shadow. Thank you very much. Yeah, we have to really keep it real, because, I mean, one of the blessings I think that I've had as being a counselor and a therapist, not just intuitively or spiritual counseling with the channeling, but actually also as a transitional counselor and hypnotherapist, is that I've worked with so many people. I mean, actors, models, musicians, people that you would know their names, people even that I've looked at and I thought, oh, they've got it all together. Even people that are, you know, keynote speakers at conferences and stuff, you know, the expos, everyone has their side. And perhaps the boundaries we don't have, you know, you don't have to show it all the time, but I think you have to own it. And like Kirk is saying in the chat, you have to own the shadow. And not just the limiting shadow, not just what we want to perceive as negative or less life-enhancing, you know, the disclosure that you have conflict or something, or you're going through a conflict. That's part of it. But also the shadow that says that somebody else is talented or somebody else is a great teacher. You have to take that back and say, well, you're talented. Teresa is talking about that this is about giving and receiving. Yes, part of giving is receiving, absolutely. You can't really do one without the other. You know, we need to have a balanced point of view, no matter what it is. You have to own. Otherwise, you set up a dual structure, and you're playing only the polarity playing. You're constantly playing opposites. And when you constantly are playing opposites, there begins to be more resistance in your life. And that's where it comes metaphysically, where we include the opposite. Because in the land of God, in the land of spirit, in the land of the soul, in the land of the all that is, there's only complementary forces that connect in oneness. And so within us, whether it's male, female, electrical, magnetic, we are complementary forces and having complementary experiences to create more wholeness or oneness in our life. And I find the more that I can keep that awareness, the more that I keep the channel open to the all that is, to God, to my higher self, the more that I'm in tune, whether it's through prayer or meditation, contemplation, or just conscious movement, just being aware, allowing my awareness to come through, then I'm living more and more in that space of wholeness, completeness. And I found less judgment there. That space of wholeness and completeness is such a balance. And that balance is very life-enhancing because it lets you take risks. It lets you take chances with your life. It's hard to take a risk or a chance when you've got that overactive inner judge or inner censor inside. So you want to come from that space of discernment, but not overly judging. We want to allow that gentleness of guidance to come in. Otherwise, on one level, what begins to happen is you shut off the creativity. You shut off the God flow. The God flow, it's very difficult for the God flow to come through us and express as us We're all divine emanations of the all that is, of the one, but we're individuated consciousness of the one consciousness. It's hard to be in that space of that God flow when we're cutting it off with overjudgment or criticism. And so in that sense, I really invite you all to really start stepping forward in your life, really expressing. I know that Dennis, I see him in the chat, Spiritual Pilot, is opening more to his gifts, which is great to see, as so many of you are, as we all are. And I think that that's a part of us coming together from this harmonic convergence, this harmonizing. We're now converging. That is what the quickening is about. That's what the acceleration of spiritual understanding, spiritual integration, and soul awareness or soul alignment is about. That we converge now in tolerance and understanding. We converge to self-express, to co-create, and that is part of that converging flow. But you have to awaken. You have to be awake and conscious to be aware of the converging flow. And Sylvia, thank you so much in the chat. Thank you for that compliment. She's saying thank you for being you and such a wonderful soul. Thank you so much. I'm going to steal something from Dougie Slapp, but she's going to come on hopefully maybe next week or next couple weeks, where he always says, you can only, you do you so well, you know, that we all do ourselves so well, right? Hey, Spiritual Pilot, thank you so much, saying that it's such a channel for the Godhead. Yeah, I'm feeling that in that flow, the God flow. I'm going to have to do something with that. I think that's a new something here. That's what we're all doing now, the God flow. Just be in the God flow, okay? Just be in the God flow. But going back to Dougie Slapp, the Slapparelli metaphysician, that, you know, when you see, that we all do, we do ourselves so well. That's all we are in our own life. That we're doing our life well. No one else can do our life. No one else can be us. Oh, Seagull, this is great. She's laying on the couch listening. That's my idea, absolutely. iPhone, iPod, kicking back, you know, hiking. In fact, I love when I did the show, when I did on the road, when I was in San Francisco for Thanksgiving. It was great. People from the night before, from dinner, joined in on the chat. I saw some, you know, recipes. I think Kathy in the chat got the Bon Appetit recipe for the great food. Now, you know, that was a chance there. So you got to get out of the box. I could have gone in the dinner, you know, could have been, you know, I don't know, awful. But it was amazing. Gourmet food, gourmet company. Everybody, very philosophical, spiritual, great conversation, great music, you know, out in a wonderful area in the Redwoods. And it was a really, really, really great time. We have a great, as we always do, everybody that comes on pretty much Awakenings is amazing, amazing gifts and talents. But our guest that we're going to have today is pretty cool. I'm pretty curious. Usually when I get a book, you know, they send a lot of times the books to read. It's pretty self-explanatory, but this one's really piqued my interest because it's quite a different concept, and I think you're going to find his book quite interesting, and I'm really kind of excited to find out how it all came together for him, how he came up with this format. And I know I'm creating a little tease here. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? And I will get into that in just a minute, because I want to remind everyone that you can call in or listen. You can listen in by phone, or you can call in with your questions. Probably about, you know, a good half hour, 40 minutes after we've talked with a guest, but we love your questions and your comments and sharing your own story of awakening and communing with God, what is coming through you, and also about your own guidance. What guidance have you been receiving from your guides or God, or any questions that you'd like to ask our guests? So if you have any questions, you can call 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. 5122. So I think without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest, and he is the author of Communicating with God, How to Have a Personal Connection Relationship with Your Creator. So I'm going to bring on Stephen Edwards. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Michelle. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I am doing fabulous, thank you. I'm in a much better space now after listening to your beautiful beginning to the show there. It was wonderful.
Thank you. I want to read just a little bit from the cover of the book, and then we'll dive in, because you've really piqued my curiosity and my interest at how this, the whole concept of the book. So I'm going to read just a little bit here. It says, one day Stephen Edwards heard God speak. Soon he began communicating with God on a daily basis. All he had to do was open his heart and ears, and he realized God was speaking to him through TV commercials, radio jingles, and love songs. Through these songs and poetry, Edwards began an exhilarating spiritual journey. And then in Stephen's words, my experience is that God is love, and that love is washing over us in waves from an ocean of thought, feeling, and emotion all the time, in all ways. We are only just now in the process of waking up to this reality and realizing who we really are in relation to God and the universe. And that's coming from the book, Communicating with God. Beautiful, Stephen. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was a beautiful experience to open up to that energy coming through me and be able to allow myself to write. It was very hard, scary experience to do this. And then as I was writing these words that were coming through me. It wasn't actually words, it was more feelings that were coming through me, and I was translating them into the words as best as I could. It was difficult for me to believe, it was scary, but slowly but surely these synchronistic events with the radio would be playing in the background when I was writing, and the love that was coming through the songs would be so overwhelming and so synchronistic it was impossible to resist. So it's been an amazing journey.
So now, this is what piques my interest, but I agree with you. I listen, and I feel you need to put the call out first. The spiritualist and metaphysician were kind of taught that, but we're always putting the call out. You know, there's that old song, our thoughts are prayers, and you're always praying. But I do believe that the signs and the symbols are everywhere, that we just either have forgotten to look, some of us have forgotten to ask, or that we are asking, but also to look. And your contention in the book, those of you that have a chance to get the book, there's many different songs there, and you've woven them together. So tell me about, what was it like your experience that when you started realizing that here it is in the TV commercial, the radio jingle, and various songs, that you were getting messages from God? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It really, it wasn't something I was looking for. It just happened. As I was writing, these words would be coming through me, and I'd get to a point where the words would stop, and the radio would just happen to be playing in the background, and the next word in the lyric of the song would fit perfectly. I'll give you an example here as I'm looking here. And these words are coming through me. As you look at your thoughts, beliefs, through the eyes of love, you'll begin to realize which thoughts and beliefs promote pro to me. So as I'm writing this book as well, words would break open in front of me to mean different. The word promote, broken down, is pro to me, or pro
yeah.
or poor to me, or per to om. Love. The thoughts and beliefs that you do not feel as loving will disappear once you shine the light of your love upon them. The reality is, and then the word stops, and the song on the radio is the lyrics from the songs. The lyrics from the song is this: the book of love will open up and let us in. Let us in. It's all I know, that you're half of the flesh and blood that makes me whole. So take these broken wings and learn to fly again. When you hear them sing, the book of love will open up and let us in. And so this happens countless times in the book. It just, and then the next thing, the words come to me again. So that would give me the sense that this is really happening. How could that was words just come out at that moment. So the lyrics from the songs, it's happening real time. It's not that I've put these songs in there to fit in at that moment. This is actually how it occurs.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, so you didn't put the song. Yeah, and I think you did mention that in the book. So you'd actually be writing. And then it's almost like a song came in to confirm that or complete that thought.
Yeah, and I'd be so caught up in the thoughts that were coming through me and then writing the words, and then suddenly would just stop. And as they would stop, then it was almost like there was an energy bringing my awareness to what was going on in the background or what would be happening outside. Sometimes it would be a radio commercial. So, for example, I ask a question, so what about making love and having sex?
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear on the radio, there's a commercial, and it says, common sense is the most important sense of all. And it's a Captain Morgan commercial. I mean, it's like, you know, how could you miss it? It's
That's right.
And then
there's a saying, though. See, it's not the messenger, it's the message. What's the message? Because the message can come through anything, right?
Absolutely. And this has developed into, overhearing a conversation. I could be walking down the street and someone would be saying something and it would just bring my attention to something. For I might have been having a conversation 2 minutes before with somebody else and they use a very unusual word and the next minute I hear it again. So these things just bring you to be present. To be in the now, to be in the moment, to awaken. It's like a little tap on the stone to break it open, to open you up to the reality that life is in the moment. Now, life is right now. It's happening right now.
Mm.
So I ask the question, what about making love and having sex? And then that commercial comes on, common sense is the most important sense of all. It goes, you know, then God goes through a beautiful description of the difference between making love and having sex. And as we know, there's no judgment on either one, but there's two different results from those two experiences. So it just, that's the book that all the way through. These songs would come on at very synchronistic moments. And the message of the book, obviously, is love, because that's what the divine energy really is, in essence. And just my own, you know, sharing some of my own intimate personal experiences, letting the light shine. You know, you were saying in your introduction there at the beginning about how we have to own our light side and our dark side. And there are moments when I have to go into my dark side and allow some of the things that I never thought I would ever tell anybody else and put them into a book, you know.
That's
and as God says, now you are opening up. Now you're becoming free because you're allowing yourself to shine the light on the things in your past, the darkness in your past. And as you do that, you free yourself.
Absolutely. That's the key. Now, Steve, I'm going to ask you, are you happen to be on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a landline, actually.
Oh, okay. I guess just maybe adjust the phone because it's a little muffled.
Okay, is that better?
That's much better.
Maybe I had my hand over it, perhaps. Okay.
Yeah, because the mic is really, I guess I'm coming through rather clearly. And we're getting the response in the chat room that it's a little muffled. So just want to make sure that we hear you.
I'll speak up a little bit, too.
Okay.
It's funny, you just said okay. And at the top of the page I'm on page 24 of the book. It says, okay, I see what you mean. It's beautiful. This energy is with us now, you know. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
There always are. The energy is always there if we learn to – I think it's a training.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your thought? My sense is that more people will be trained in this way. I call it – to me, it's surrealistic living. Once that's the real magic. Once you become really clear, you start seeing – the signs, the symbols, everything, you know, corresponding to what you need and want.
Yeah, and I call it, living the miracle, that miracles are happening in every moment, and the more we see, the more we open up, You referred to it earlier as the quickening, we're awakening. Whichever tradition you want to look at, they all predict the same thing. They all predict this time, whether you look at the end of the Kali Yuga in the
Sanskrit, in the Hinduism. Mm-hmm.
Or if you look at the Native American Indian tradition, if you look at the shaman traditions, they've all said the proven shamans. It all says the same thing, that this time is going to be the time of great change. In Greg Braden's book, Walking Between the Worlds, he writes that the ancients had a name for us that live at this time, and they called us those that walk between the worlds. We're walking between the world that has been and the world that is coming, and we, as this generation, are the midwives that are birthing this new experience, this radical change. And what I read something just recently. I was reading over one of Neil Donald Walsh's books again, and he was an inspiration for me to start this whole process. I read his book in 1994, and I thought, wow, maybe if he could, maybe it could happen to me. And in my book, the thing that went further was that the synchronicity around me started to happen as I was writing the book that I included in the book. What I was reading in one of his books was that in order for us to have what we desire, what we say we want, then the exact opposite has to show up first. So we're all praying for this, and as you said, every thought is a prayer. We're all thinking about this time of peace and harmony, and a world where there's unity, and borders of countries are broken down. And so what we're experiencing is the opposite before it becomes a reality. So we have to go through that, and the ancients gave that the name the Dark Night of the Soul.
Yes. It's a testing time.
And so we're seeing now that all the systems that have been based on fear, greed, separation, are breaking down. They cannot sustain themselves in the higher vibrational energy. And so, the tendency is to get drawn in because the reality, the illusion we live in is so powerful that we get drawn into it. And as you were saying earlier also, we have to extrapolate ourselves, listening to your radio show, reading a book, surrounding ourselves with people of like minds, so that we don't get drawn into that fear and that illusion and think that something terrible is happening, when in fact something amazing is happening to us now. This is probably the most amazing time to be alive. This is what we've all lived many lives for.
Yes, and what we came here for. Stephen, your mic, and you're saying some amazing stuff that the people on the phone is really, it's going wavy, really in and out.
I have a cell phone here. Do you want me to call you on this on another number?
Because we want to just really dive in. So you want to call us right back.
All right, give me the number.
On the cell.
Did you have the number there?
Yeah, it's 347.
One second. Three.
Or I can call you.
347. Yeah.
539-5122.
539-5122.
Yeah, 347-539-5122.
I'm calling right now.
Okay, sounds great.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the feedback, you guys, in the chat, letting me know that the sound...
Okay, I'm on the cell phone now. Can you hear me?
Woo, much better.
Good.
All right, great.
I think
cell phones... It's funny because they usually say landline, but I'm finding that a lot of the technology with cell phone is getting so great. Yes, it's Sunny in the chat room is saying thank you, yes. Knowing that he has so much to say but can't hear it. I know, and you were on this great roll. Let's open the book. What's the book say? What's it say?
Let's see. Hold your head up, put your arms out by your side and feel.
You know, I'd like to just to kind of jog back a little bit and reiterate when you were talking about some of these old, beliefs or programs they can't sustain themselves anymore.
Right, they can't sustain themselves. Anything of based on the energy of fear cannot sustain itself in the current energy. It is being forced out onto the physical plane. Because the vibration, which comes through everything, but it's coming out of the earth, is forcing our vibration higher. So if we try and hold on to fear, it will actually destroy our bodies, creating tremendous disease in the body. So we either release and let go, or our bodies return to the earth. because anything that is going to hold on to fear cannot sustain and allow the higher vibration to come through. It will disintegrate, basically. So our opportunity is to release that fear, to, as you said earlier, recognize that there is not a potential that does not exist in each and every one of us. And as long as we deny it, we resist it, as you said. And if we resist it, then it can destroy us. So it destroy the physical body. It can never destroy who we are, because who we are obviously is eternal, and we are love and light. In our soul is love and light. So, as we were talking about, the physical reality or the physical illusion that we live in is so powerful when we step outside that there is the tendency, if we don't plug into, you know, things like your radio show or read books or listen to audio programs or go to events that, you know, raise our vibration, then there's the tendency to slip back and fall into that illusion. And
you bring up a great point, and that's why throughout the ages we had satsang, you know, sangha, you know, a gathering in Sanskrit, a gathering of like-minded individuals or church, that's what it was at one point, that you will, if you don't reconnect by, you know, reading spiritually aligning or integrating or uplifting books, or you don't come together and convene and meet, you're right. Little by little, there's an edging down of that vibrational frequency.
Yes.
Back to the beta living or the mainstream or race consciousness. That's a really good point, because a lot of people think they start snoozing. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm done now. You know.
And you know, it's not always easy, but just if you can meditation, you can always meditate or go and sit by, you know, sounds crazy, but go sit by a tree. You know, put your hands in the mud. You know, reconnect. Be still. Sometimes is the most powerful thing to do. You know,
that's a good point. Couple things I want to tap back in. I wrote something in the chat. A metaphysical axiom is sometimes we learn by what something isn't. So we don't always, like you were saying earlier, Stephen, we don't always learn what we want by knowing what we want or experiencing it. Sometimes we have to experience what it isn't, what we're not going for.
Sometimes situations
will show up that show us this isn't what you want.
And provide us with the contrast, so we know that when we get what we do want, that we really want it, and we're able to enjoy it at a much higher level than we would have had we not had something, you know, hot and cold, up and down. You know, you've got to experience both to know which is which, and to the degree you experience one, you can experience the other. So, our life has been a set of experiences where we've had the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know what the good was if we didn't know what the bad was. You know, as a great
and that's by, the go ahead.
I was just going to say there was a great. I love Cahil Gibran's book, The Prophet. And it talks about, you know, is not the cup that is carved with knives, can it not hold the wine? You know, is not the cup that is burned in the potter's oven? You know, that's how it becomes what it is. So, you know, I think we've all felt the flames at different times.
Yes, you call it anything you want. Dark night of the soul, the fires, the tempering, you know, the philosopher's stone being tempered, you know.
Yeah, and I think we've all been tempered. To the point where we're ready for the amazing world that we're birthing now.
Absolutely,
I think we're ready.
I always say too what you mentioned earlier about that the limiting old beliefs of the old paradigm cannot be sustained. I think people are going to start seeing that certain forms, whether it's certain types of people, human being, or certain forms won't be sustained, just like certain beliefs.
Right.
If they're not sustainable, or the vibrational frequency isn't fitting in, they will just become obsolete.
Yeah.
You won't.
Exactly.
Right?
And things are going to happen at a pace that has just been prior to this never been thought possible. A perfect example is what just happened with Barack Obama.
relatively new on the scene, you know, probably a year, 18 months, no one had given him a chance, you know, against Hillary Clinton, yet he rose so quickly and was able to capture people's imaginations and come to be the president of the United States, which is an example of the speed of which change can happen, which gives us all hope that this all can change. You know, I mean, look at what happened around the world as soon as he was elected president.
Oh.
People even began to look on this country differently than they'd looked at it for a long time. So yeah. these are all shifts in consciousness, you know. These are all shifts in consciousness that are powerful and have far-reaching effects. So we're getting closer and closer to the 1%, you know. We're getting closer,
yes,
and closer to the 1%.
Yeah, and that's what we need. You know, it, very interesting, because I think even though many of us either have, you know, come in with this type of awareness or from this, you know, soul design or signature pattern, in a way the race consciousness or the mainstream to me is like it's like the relative that you really don't want to come to Thanksgiving or Christmas, but they're there all the time.
yes
and you're tied to them, and you know, and God love them, but for the, literally, but for those people, I think if we hadn't have had a little Bushy, you know, a George W. Bush, because they're not inspired, you know, they need to be, you know, moved by perspiration, by struggle, by effort. And so I think with that, I mean, you had to have a Bush to represent what that whole, you know, enclave represented, and now those people are saying, "Oh God, yeah, that's not what we want." You know, it had to hit them in the pocketbook, so to speak.
You know, what was amazing is that I recently went to see the movie. You know, there's a movie now.
How was it?
It was a very, it was amazing movie. One of the things that stuck out for me was, it's funny that you would say that Bush felt that he was inspired by God, and God told him he was going to be president. Now, when he's going through that, I'm thinking, there's no way. But, you know, when I look at it, and I look at it from the perspective you just mentioned, I think, you know what? He was meant to be president because he was meant to pave the way for Obama. So it was all perfect. It is in, you know, sometimes we think that things are not in divine order, and we think that this is a terrible thing that's happened. It was in divine order. It was all perfect. To bring about this kind of radical change. Had we not had such a, you know, a terrible set of events during his presidency, you know, we probably wouldn't be at the situation we are today, where people have really started to take a different look at, you know, what government does, the decisions government makes, what they do in other countries, in the name of the country. So it has brought about tremendous awareness to what is really going on in our world. We've become less parochial in our view of the world, which was so important for this country, if you know, we're going to transcend these fear-based ideologies.
Yes, and I think that what we have to remember, I mean, we have to think, humankind, we are a family, where we say, oh, you know, we kind of say that, you know, everyone holds hands, singing Kumbaya, we're all family, we're all one. But we really are all family and all one, and not everybody on this level or this dimension expands at the same rate or has the same awareness or consciousness.
Right.
So I think we're seeing, you know, some people in human nature, in Humanville here, Whoville. It's like Whoville.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm in Whoville sometimes.
Yeah.
Who's watching, right?
And that's genius there. I mean, he was just such a genius too. But I mean, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And there's a balance, as you've been talking about earlier. It's one thing to be have an awareness at whatever level we are at, and there are some people who are not going to be aware as we are, and there are people who are a lot more aware than we are. We're just on our journey. What I was going to say was the important thing to remember is that we also need to be, you know, be be active in our understanding. Whether or not people agree with us, not whether people are ready to be awakened or not, is not an excuse for us not to share what we know, to share our understanding. You know, I go out and speak every week. I used to speak about real estate investing from a spiritual perspective. And most people come to the event having no idea what they're going to experience. They don't know that we're going to talk about spiritual truths. They don't know that we're going to talk about how they manifest the reality. They don't know we're going to talk about intention and being and all these kind of things. And so by being in an environment where people don't expect that, I'm able to share that those concepts, those ideas, those beliefs with people who may not otherwise be exposed to it, which, you know, some people accept it, some people don't, but I know that there are people in that room who were ready to awaken, and they needed to find somewhere that they could hear that, where they might not have reached out to read a book by Wayne Dyer or Deepak Chopra. But when they hear that, their consciousness shifts.
Mm. So now, do you have them ask questions, or are they just kind of getting the download, kind of, and how
no,
are you
they get
the feedback?
No, it's interactive, so there are discussions and there.
Okay.
There's microphones.
And what do they usually say when you're starting to talk about God? Because God, I mean, you can say, I think F you or something like that is so much more handleable. As soon as you say the word God, you can feel people cringing inside and contort like, don't use that word.
I know, and I used to be exactly the same, Michelle. I used to be just like that.
Look what God did. Now you're writing a book about communication.
I know. You know what? It's the very thing you fear you create. Isn't that true? You know,
that's the very thing
you judge, you can end up doing it. You know, it's just that's the way it is. You may as well just stop judging it right now.
That's right.
I cannot believe that I've written a book, you know, that has God in the title, that has God in it. It's just amazing to me. Because I was so, you know, afraid of religion growing up. And I'm not talking about God being religion, but that my concept of religion was that was God. I didn't understand that there was a difference between the two. And so I was, you know, I used to say the word universe or a unified field or all those kind of things. But I do use the word God now because it's a way for people to understand that the concepts that they've separated sometimes as, oh, New Age, or they talk about this unified field, to bring those concepts to God, that these concepts with what they understand to be the creator of everything. And so I do use the word God. I'm not attached to that word. We could call it Ben, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Allah, you know, Muhammad, it doesn't matter what the word is. What is important is we understand the concept. God is a word that has a lot of connotations for a lot of people, some negative, some positive. But it is a word that people understand, that it's a higher being, whether they consider that higher being to be a man with white hair and a stick standing somewhere up on a cloud, or whether they understand that God is the divine energy that flows through everything, that is everything in the universe, is a sort of in some ways a unifying word in this country, probably not in Iraq.
So what is the feedback when you start talking about God that you usually get?
Well, people are a little shocked at first, I think, but I have such a, you know, I have a big help. I know that force is with me in that room, and I have such a strong sense of that and faith in that that I think that comes across. I really don't find people attacking me. I don't find people getting angry, and I come across in a loving, caring way. I'm not, you know, I make a you know, a big distinguished separation between a religion and God at the beginning. I'm not here to talk about religion, and I explain, you know, the difference between religion and spirituality in a very basic concept. I explained that I had a PhD in spiritual counseling. And so I think I had a little bit of credibility going in there, and I'm not threatening anybody's religion. And what I talk about, the things I talk about, of course, as you can imagine, you know, I'm at the break, people from every religion come up and say, "Oh, you're a Baptist, right? Or you're a Christian, right?" Or they think because the truths in it are the same in all the religions. You know, the fundamental truths are the same across them all, and so so I find it unifies rather than separates, which is good.
Yeah, and I think like you've got your mission papers. I think more of us are going out there and speaking in this way, and perhaps it gives people permission to connect with this aspect of themselves and this, because they are that. They are, you know, a divine emanation of God. At least it's opening the dialogue up.
Yes. Yeah. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with the book. The book, again, you know, as I said in the book, the words break down all over the place in amazing ways. Another example would be, you know, at some point I realized, and then it's almost like God said, "Look at that word again. You saw with your real eyes. Your real eyes. Your real eyes are your feelings. That's how you really see." I was like, wow. You know, and on the front cover of the book is called Communicating with God. So it's a play on the word communicating and communion. To me, communion is being at one with God. And communicating.
How has this changed? Go ahead.
And so communicating is being at one with God and having a conversation or a two-way dialogue with God, whether that is through the radio, whether it's through actual words that come through you. And what I came to understand as I was writing the book that, you know, my experience is my experience. You know, everybody else's experience is going to be different. Why? Because my experiences in life are totally unique, as are yours and everybody else's. And so the only force that can know you is God, because God's the only force that's been through all those things with you and therefore can relate to you in whatever way is necessary for you to understand. And so the words that you might have used as, you know, when you're channeling, I know you channel, the words you use would be different than mine or somebody else's. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It's just your experience from where you're at, your awakening, your understanding at that moment in time. And so I feel like the book is trying to say, look, if this guy can have this experience, if these amazing synchronicities can happen for him, is it possible it could be happening for you, and that you could have a relationship with me, or as God, you know, God is saying, but can you have a relationship with me, one-on-one? You know, and I think that we need to do that, because as long as we're relying on other people to be the conduit, it's always going to come through in a way that's maybe not as effective as if we were doing it ourselves.
Yeah. I think, too, to have a more fulfilled life, and in fact to move into the cause point instead of being effect of your circumstances, you know, and I'll even to go so far as to say to move past the victimhood, we do have to connect in our life to see that everything is a dance that we're doing with life. And I'm saying life meaning with God. So like you're saying, the message is that it's always there. It's that we don't have to be effective at that, we're waiting in a sense for something. It's right there. And to me, when I was reading the book, that I kept getting that it's like you were looking around, and everywhere you looked, specifically through music, was that your dancing partner. You're dancing with God. Here's the next step. You know, you do two steps, and then, you know, the God, the all that is doing two steps. So there becomes this wonderful dance.
That's beautiful. Beautiful way to put it. That's so, that's beautiful. I was going to say something, and that was just so good. But you know why I can't think of it? Because I just went back over to look at the book, and I thought I remembered seeing that in the book. It says, you remember I said to you earlier, where you said, what does it say in the book right now? And I said, hold your head up, put your arms by your side, and feel. Now listen to the next few lines. At this moment, I feel like I'm standing on the top of a mountain with the wind in my hair. And the song on the radio is, I hope you dance.
Oh,
I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance.
Love it.
And now listen to this. Amazing. As I write that, I feel like I'm standing on top of a mountain. I hope you never choose the path of least resistance. Love might be a mistake, but it's a chance worth taking. So look at that loop that we just got taken on.
Yeah, exactly.
How beautiful.
Wow. And I will, from my experience of the psychic realm and working within that and channeling, is that we used to be more on linear time. You could used to be able to really peg things. You still can, but it's so much different now. It seems that we're moving into synchronistic time. So things are now happening by event, as opposed to something's going to necessarily happen in May or March. It might be slated for that, but there's more. It's more mutable. It's more by do you do whatever you need to do or have done by that time, whether it's an awareness or something that you actually need to do to meet up with that person or that situation. To me, when you're reading your book, Stephen, and as we're talking about this now, this is a confirmation, because it's just like that loop that we were on. It's, are you aware to see that the timing now, it's more divine right timing is predominant. And so you get, it doesn't have to be the next linear question to ask. You see what I'm saying? It's like you get on these wonderful little loops that are guided by God.
You know? Absolutely. You know, and it's so funny because I was trying to think about what you just led me to say right now, and that's why I got a little bit confused, and I went to the book, and it just led me to the book, because what I was going to say before that, but again, the divine energy was saying go to the book, was that it's hard for us now to not realize that we are not victims, that we are creating our life events and circumstances, because the time between us thinking something and it actually showing up is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. To
so
the point
true.
Where we're manifesting so fast that it's hard to deny, well, I just thought about that and I just created it. So
yeah.
How could I, you know, how could I not own it? How could I not be responsible for it, you know? And so, yes, you're absolutely right. It's getting harder and harder to be a victim. And more people are waking up to the fact that we are creating our own reality, whether it's, you know, whether it's a physical ailment or whether it is, you know, we think about, I need a glass of water, and we turn around and someone's standing saying, do you want a glass of water? We're creating it all. And so that is also helping us to start to monitor our thoughts, our words, and our actions. You know, what are we thinking, what are we saying, and what are we doing? Because those three things have very powerful creative effects in our lives.
I always put a little caveat sometimes on a certain little thought, you know, and obviously, by the way, to really co-create, draw in, you need to keep that vibrational frequency up. But I find sometimes a little thought or an idea will come in that's of the non-life enhancing version, and I'll just say in my head, I'll say, I don't need that reality, or cancel. Because if I'm owning that I don't need this reality or I don't need to experience something, you don't need to experience it. And that's the beauty. I think a lot of people are going to wake up and see that. If you really don't need to experience something or want a certain reality, you don't have to have it come in.
It's true. What's important with that, and this is, again, where people misunderstand sometimes, if you are saying, I don't need that experience because you just generally say, I don't choose it, then there is no need for it. But if you say, I don't need that because you're afraid of it, then you're going to draw it in. And so people can say, well, I said I didn't need it, but it came anyway.
Yeah.
Well, then your underlying thought was fear-based, and so you attracted it, you know.
Yeah, it's true. You have to kind of take a beat, and you're right, and really, you know that you don't really need it or want that. And what I'll also do is, right as I say that, I shift my attention to something that I do want or that is life enhancing. And then there's no more juice, there's no charge on it, because it just falls off. It's like a branch that just falls off. It's dead.
Yes.
Because if I would keep wrestling with the thought, then I'd be fanning that fire.
Yes.
And then there's that old fulfilling prophecy. I said I didn't, like you said, I didn't want that. You know, I kept saying over and over, I don't want that, and now I have that. You know, and it's like, because you were calling it in, you know.
Well, right, because what you said is, I don't choose that, I choose this. If you keep saying I don't want something, then, you know, the universe can't register a negative anyway. So if you're thinking about something you don't want, you may as well be thinking that you want it. Are you
That's right.
going to have it because it's the same thing? Yeah. It's you got to be careful. And people misunderstand. It's the thought behind the thought. It's the a feeling.
Yes.
If you like, if you want to put it into the feeling, is it a fear-based feeling or is it a love-based
that's right.
feeling? And that's what you're creating. Yeah. Because people say, you know, well, what I've been saying, I say at my event, you know, every thought is a prayer, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
And people go, well, I've been thinking I want more money. And I said, well, yeah, but what's the thought behind that thought? If you want more money, what are you saying? You don't have any. And so you're coming from lack. And so if the universe is a Xerox machine, the universe is going to say, you're right, you don't have any money. You know? You know?
I had someone email me the other day, and they've been working on abundance, and which is so my thing. And you know, I even, you know, I will give CDs away. I don't care. It's like, you know what? There's so much creativity and self-expression in me that it all comes back anyway. Whatever needs a circle, whether it's, you know, connecting. And there's so many forms of abundance. But they had written in the email that they had to go out and get the abundance. And so then we had a chat a while back, and I said, number one, I know that was your code word for money. I said, like, that's when you're saying, right?
Right.
You're not being metaphysical now. You know, I can read between those lines. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's great.
And I said, you know, you're coming from lack or scarcity when you have to go get something. I said, if you start recognizing all the abundance that's around you, and I said, include money, of course, but beyond the money, I said, then you're going to start drawing in more forms of that, money included. I said, but if you're thinking that you have to go get something, then you're actually saying that it's not there, you don't have it. And you're creating that. If I'm saying that I don't have something, then I'm literally, the subconscious mind is reading that I don't have that. And the more you say I don't have that, right, you're communicating to the subconscious that it's not in you, that it's not there, not around you. So you're creating that experience of I don't have that.
Right.
So,
exactly right.
Very powerful. Very powerful with the words. Now I'm going to do a little. We're going to do another little dance, segueing back, because I wrote down a question someone had in the chat, and when you were saying sometimes things have to get worse before they get better, or sometimes we experience the opposite. Maybe it's, you know, I'm, my new word thing is non-life enhancing. I'm really getting out of the dual plane here. So they were asking, Stephen, do you think that that's also with body or being sick or something that things get worse, cycle through to get better?
I think it can very often. I don't think there is any absolutes. In that, when I said earlier, in order for us to all have what we truly say we desire, which is peace on earth, the exact opposite has to show up. It's not necessarily going to show up for everybody, but it's going to show up somewhere. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
It's not going to be in everybody's life. But I have to say that, you know, when I've spoken to a lot of people who have gone through this, you know, I had a powerful awakening in their life. I've had a powerful awakening, and I had some very powerful challenging experiences that I had to get through that were mental, emotional, and physical. And very often when I talk to people who've had these transformative experiences, they've had some physical challenge, some maybe a car accident, and they were injured, may have been a cancer or something like that, that was a very powerful catalyst in their awakening. So I think that we're all at some level, you know, most of us, and again, there's no absolutes, but most of us in our awakening are going to go through some pivotal experience, whether it is a physical malady or some kind of a very powerful, significant experience and event that is going to radically open up our hearts and minds to new possibilities.
Well, and I think, quote another teacher of mine, that many times our awakening does come, at least the initial one, it does come through some form of, you know, tragedy or condition that is, you know, at best non-optimum and at worst, you know, tragic or holy hell, you know. Otherwise, we wouldn't necessarily need to look within. That's kind of like the human side of us is wired that way, that we're perfectly happy with certain set of circumstances, and perhaps there wouldn't be the growth. At least I find in the beginning. Then I think the ego personality gets the taste for the growth, the insight, the evolution. But many times, I agree with you that to go to that next level, there usually is something that's very, you know, challenging. I guess that's also where Dark Night of the Soul came from, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. As I just turned the book again to another section, there's a couple of words that came up that just guided me to say this is the right place to read. This chapter in the book is called Surrender to Good Vibrations. And the beginning mm-hmm. of the chapter I write, I'm feeling overwhelmed and afraid. Of course, not for the first time. I've been feeling like all I'm trying to do is not working for me. I feel like I'm drowning and splashing around trying to find a lifesaver. And the words that come to me are, your soul is guiding you to where you have declared your desire to be. Your ego is afraid that it's going to lose its image and its control of you in the circles where you have been spending your energy. And the song on the radio is, you can save me from the man I've become. Looking back on the things I've done, I was trying to be someone. Touch me now. The song is called Shape of My Heart by the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the second page, a little bit further down in the chapter, it says, as you were writing, you're remembering the numerous times you have traversed this cycle, this circle, this pattern of behavior, and been faced with the same opportunity. In the past, you've simply picked yourself up and fallen into the same habits and practices that brought you back here again. You can choose to do that again, and we will meet here once more, or as many times as you deem necessary, until you decide that you are ready to take the next step towards the experience that you say that you desire. And then sometimes the words would break into poetry. So then the words break into poetry. It says, I will be with you in every breath of the storm. I will be the ship sounding the horn. I will be the love you have always worn. I will be the new world into which you are born. Come on. It's time to live a new day and forget your fear, to begin the life that in your heart was always so clear. To be or not to be, that was the question. That was the question that once sounded so queer, yet it is the only question that makes us real, now that we are here.
Wow, beautiful. Now, so part of that was the song, and then part of that was your writing then, right?
The song, Save Me From the Man I've Become, that was at the beginning of the chapter. Yeah, that was when I said, you know, at the beginning I was afraid and that thing that your ego is getting in your way. And, you know, you're afraid of, your ego is afraid of losing its image and its control of you and the circles where you've been spending your energy. And the song comes on, You Can Save Me From the Man I've Become.
That was the song, yeah.
Yeah, it was the song. And then later on, further in the chapter I read about, you know, as I was writing, and as God says, as you're writing, you remember the numerous times you've traversed the cycle. So as you were saying, we sometimes go back over the same things many, many times before we awaken to the lesson. And we repeat patterns in our lives until we get it. The same kind of relationships we find, we're back in the relationship with the exact same person we just got out of a relationship with because we hadn't got what we needed to get from it yet. And so once we get the understanding, should I say, rather than even the lesson, the understanding that helps us move to the next level of awakening, then we no longer need to draw that relationship back into our lives, and we move beyond it.
Now, when you were writing this, did the song come on right at that time?
Exact moment. Yeah, it wasn't put in there later. It was done exactly at that moment.
You know, and I don't know. Well, no, I don't know, but I do know that the awareness came. It was triggered more and reinforced by reading your book. Two things happened. One thing I started writing, because I always write blessings. I usually say in light or blessings in light. And then one day I wrote. There was a little typo that I did, and I went back over, and it said bless signs. So now I've started writing people, and at the end, my salutation, you know, is bless signs. And people are like, why are you saying that? I said, because there are signs everywhere. You need to bless them. You need to start looking. And then that was one thing. And then last week I had facilitated a workshop, and I usually meditate ahead of time. You know, I know usually who's attending, or you know, have their name at least, and so there's some kind of synchronistic flow there. So I'm not just delivering what I have planned. There's that plus adjusted to the people that are tailored to the people I'm going to be working with. So I'm in the car and I had Indie 103 on, and the song Addicted to Love came on. So I was, I'm listening to it, and then I'm thinking, because we're going to do emotional clearing, and there was some stuff about relationship. And then, so I started really getting into that and kind of formulating what I was going to talk about in relation to that. And then the next song that came on was some rap song I'd never even heard of called You Have the Power to Change. And it kept saying over and over, you have the power to change. So I ended up bringing that into the workshop and saying, you know, because, of course, there was a lot about, you know, relationship and clarifying that, you know, you're not addicted to love. You're addicted to, as M. Scott Peck says, cathesis, being, you know, codependency. But that the important thing is that we all have that power to change is within us. We are hardwired to be able to change our beliefs, our patterns, and our life circumstances. That's a part of co-creation. So as we're talking, Stephen, I'm thinking, you know what? It's probably because I was reading that little book of his. You know, I started looking around,
I have to tell you, when I speak to people who have read it, it has a magic. And somehow, in some way, people have something that happens as a result of reading it. So I know it's not, it came through me, it's not me, but it is something that I was a conduit for. But it seems to have an effect. People start to listen to songs differently. They start to listen, and then if you start to listen to songs differently, you start to listen to other things, and you start to tune in differently. It's like you've gone onto another frequency, you know. And we all do that for each other, you know. Just some of the things that you were saying at the beginning there, we're like, oh yeah, I need to remember that. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. I was almost, just going into a meditative state. So when you came on the line, I gotta get ready. So we all have the ability to heal and awaken in somehow. And once we find that, once, like you said, I know I got my mission papers. It took some time for me to get them. But, well, I guess I had to go through the experiences I had to go through to prepare me for my mission. And I had to be in a state of unconsciousness to do that so that I could have the duality, as you said. So, experience the dark side and the light side of my nature so that I don't have judgment on, other people, because I know I've done some stuff that I wouldn't, do when I'm in my light, but I've done it, and so I recognize that we all have the potential within us to be and do anything. So, do I forget that? Do I forget that? Of course. Do I get caught up in the illusion? Yes, but I find it happens less and less, I have tools now that help me to come back into balance. I was going to read you one other thing here, just real quick, if we got a second here. I'm asking God about promises, and God talks about, if you make a promise, it doesn't mean that you can't break a promise, but by making a promise, it just holds you more accountable. And I said, so, well, I'm beginning to change my belief about it. I don't believe that we need to be punished for our mistakes. I do believe in consequences, though, which, as you pointed out, are different from punishments. And then God says, there's another option. You can simply face the consequences of not keeping your promise. You can choose to acknowledge that you have allowed fear to control you, that you've compromised who you really are to protect yourself from the illusion of loss. Then you can accept the consequences. Perhaps renew your commitment to being who you really are and get on with your life. So I say, what's the point of making a promise to do something if you're not going to do it? It is a commitment to yourself, an act of decision, and a promise made with the intention of following through, which is more easily kept than if you say to yourself, I will try. A promise is a sacred agreement with your soul. It means that to the best of your ability, you will keep the agreement. And the song on the radio says, to hell with the consequence. You told me you love me. That's all I need to believe. And that's the song by Melissa Etheridge, I Want to Come Over.
Mm. Now, did you have your radio on all the time, or was it or CDs?
Yeah.
Were you,
I had the radio on. No, I had the radio. It was 94.9.
Mm-hmm.
94.9 here in
little plug there.
Sarasota, which sometimes would be in the evenings. Why I cannot think of a name right now. I'll think of a name in a second, but I'm not trying. But yeah, and I sometimes I, that's why sometimes I put the time of day in the radio, the time and the day, because then you know it's verifiable on the radio station that these songs are playing at that time. You know,
oh, that's good.
That's
thinking.
Real, you know. It's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happening right there and then. It's hard to believe when I go back through it. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. That song was playing right then. So I had the radio on the whole time, and that started from the first book when I was writing the first. There's two parts of this book. I read it. I wrote it at two completely different times. The first book, I would just sometimes be riding in the car or somewhere, and I would overhear a song, and I'd just put the first line or the title of the song, which would seem kind of synchronistic. And the second time I went back to writing again, it was just happening all the time. It was amazing. But what would happen is although the radio was playing in the background, while I was writing, I couldn't hear it. It was only when the words would stop coming into my mind that suddenly I'd be aware of the lyrics from the song. And almost invariably, they would fit perfectly with what I was writing.
Mm, amazing. Okay, now we have in the chat, I guess we have somebody from Sarasota. So is it
The
channel 94.9 or 94.1?
The radio station is 94.9, yes.
Okay,
Magic,
94.9. Okay.
It's called Magic 94.9.
Oh, Magic. Okay, got to get that.
Wouldn't you know, wouldn't you know it? Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Oh, great. that's perfect.
Yeah. Delilah. In the evening, Delilah is on that radio show. I don't even listen to Delilah, but she would come on and she would talk, and sense that the things she would say would be right. Oh my goodness! You got to be kidding me! They would fit perfectly with what I was writing about. Or someone would call me in the book. Sometimes someone would call me and have a conversation with them, and they wouldn't even realize what they were saying was so synchronistic to what I'd just been writing about. So,
okay, so Sigrid was saying in the chat room that she knows the channel and there are billboards for it. So there's another synchronicity.
There you go. Yeah.
Now, Stephen, are you in Sarasota now? Someone's asking.
I am, yeah. Listen, I just turned to the page and it says, and in the middle of the page it says, there's a magic for feeling so right. You can try to resist, but you know, deep in the dark, you surrender your heart. It's going to get to your heart. That's Can't Fight the Moonlight. By Leanne Rimes. I'm in Sarasota right now. Yes, I am. I live downtown Sarasota.
Wow. And then Teresa in the chat is saying music is the universal language that needs no specific words to feel the connection.
Yes, the
well,
music.
That's so
yes.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very true. Yeah.
You know, and I find, one of the byproducts of being more like clear, aware, awake, however you want to put it, is that you do begin to see, to me, the world, the universe becomes very surreal. It's less dense, and it is constantly interacting. You see how it's really constantly interacting with you, that you're a part of it, and that situations and connections are always happening synchronistically. They're always conspiring for the highest good or most fulfillment or most life enhancement. We just haven't been attuned to viewing life this way.
Right, exactly. You're exactly right. It's, and as you do move up in your vibration, they do you become more aware of them, and they do happen more rapidly. So in a lower vibratory state, they don't happen as frequently. So, and I don't know why. My only thought about that sometimes is that perhaps if somebody was in that fear-based consciousness and too much of it was happening around them, it would really make them more afraid than they could perhaps handle. So as you become more aware and you become your energy, your vibration rises up to be able to rise above most of the fear, then you start to be able to accept it, and it's okay, and it doesn't scare you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because a lot of times when the synchronicities do start happening, to many people, they're, oh my God, can you believe that? Or, you know, that's weird. You know, that's they do get a, it can be off-putting. It's funny. But again, I think it's our conditioning, our conditioned response, because then your life starts really flowing. And I know from my own experience with working with people that sometimes that scares people more than when they're struggling. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, people are very often so accustomed to the struggle and then more comfortable with that. And so anything else is a little scary sometimes. Some people are more accustomed to the pain they know and want to stick with it than move beyond it. I sometimes tell a story about a man who walks to work every day, and he walks past a house where there's a dog sitting outside, and the dog is howling. It's obviously in a great deal of pain. It has a rope around its neck, but it's not tethered to anything. Mm. And so one day the man is walking to work, and he sees the owner of the house standing on the porch. And so he shouts out to the man, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He said, "I see your dog sitting out here every day. It's howling. Your dog is obviously in pain." He said, "Can I ask you what's wrong with the dog?" And the man says, "He's sitting on a nail."
Mm.
So the man that's walking to work says, "Well, I see there's a rope tethered around his neck, but it's not tethered to anything. Why doesn't the dog just get up and walk away?" And the man said, "I guess it doesn't hurt enough yet."
Mm.
And so the analogy is that there's so many people in such great pain, they'll complain about it and they'll howl about it, but they won't get off the nail. Because they're more accustomed to the pain they know, and they're afraid of the unknown. And so as I relate that, I talk about, look, the only way to ever build faith is through stepping into the unknown, stepping into the void. That's how everything is created. And until we have that level of faith, we're going to be living in fear, because we think we have to control everything. And if we have to control everything and we don't see that the divine is guiding us where we want to go, then we're always going to try and control everything and be in fear.
In closing, Stephen, what would you suggest to someone to be able to communicate with God, let's say, better?
Just sit down, put yourself in a good space, relax, and ask God questions, and be prepared for answers. And just write them down, even if you think they're crazy. Just write it down. And as you do that, maybe have the radio playing in the background. You know, I don't know. Put a radio station on that you know is not going to perhaps be playing, you know, there's going to be playing positive music, something that inspires you, you know, something that's love-based. And, I think you're going to find that you'll have an experience. As I finish out here, there's just on this page here, this is as I asked some questions to God, this is something that came out, and God said, "I tell you here and now that you are the living truth. You are the embodiment of love. You are all harmonious sounds combined. There is glory in your presence. You are colors, sound, shape. You are light vibrating. You are everything and nothing. You are my love. I am your love. Together we are all the love in the universe. As you are perfect. As you live within me. As you are being free. As you, I am able to see. Your mind, body, and spirit coming back home to be. The season for change is already in full swing. The time to hear your true voices fully sing. The moment of truth is upon this place. The prophecy has come for the human race. So hold on to no thing through the throes of transition. You are all being called to fulfill your divine mission. To love each other and to come back to peace in your mind. Be the love and peace that come from the heart and are totally blind. Call me and I will be there. Call me and no matter how far away it may seem, I will be in your presence, in your life that we created in our first dream."
Wow.
Wow, blows me away when I read it.
I'm just leaving a little, little pause there just to absorb. That was absolutely beautiful, Stephen. Truly. We have one last question, if someone has a question in the chat room, go ahead and ask it now. Or for, I was going to say, ever hold your peace, but at least hold it for now. So one last question, if you can type quickly, go ahead.
while they're typing that, I'm going to read one more thing here that I love to read. This is the last part of that chapter. It says, this means letting go of attachment to anything, anybody, any idea, any thought, any belief, any doubt, any fear, any reason. That may sound unreasonable, yet love has no reason. Love does not need a reason. Love is always in season. Love is forever yours. Love can never divorce. Love is the ultimate force. Love is the perfect source. Love is the memory held in your body. Love is the presence that holds everybody. So take a look around and see who you believe you are. Is that true for you? Is that who you want to be? Or would you rather set your soul free? Do you realize that you are the same as a tree? Do you know what it means to be at one with me? What and whom do you surround yourself with? You are your environment.
Steven, you're getting lots of thanks in the chat.
People enjoying it.
Yeah. And what is the most powerful word? That's the question.
Love.
And that's what I put in the chat, love. I think on that note, on the love note,
yes.
We'll complete. Definitely communicating with God, how to have a personal connection and relationship with your Creator is definitely music therapy for the soul. Thank you so much, Stephen Edwards, for being with us. We really have loved this awakened discussion with you and have loved connecting with you.
It's been a pleasure. I just want to tell yourself and your audience that I have a website. It's cmiracles.com, and on that website there is a free download that people can get of what I call Soul Tree, which is when it goes into the poetry like that. I've done some of those sections to music, and people can go to the website and download that and enjoy it.
Oh, great. I've been putting that in the chat, the cmiracles.com, and the Soul Tree. So we'll definitely check that out. Oh, that sounds yummy. And what's your voice?
It's my voice to me.
Oh, good, because everyone's been in about your voice. You've got an amazing voice and amazing energy.
Thank you
very much. I hope your server can handle thousands of people going on it all at one time.
So do I. So do I. Michelle, it's been such a pleasure to be on your show, and I hope to be able to do it again soon. And in the meantime, have a wonderful,
absolutely.
Wonderful Christmas time, holidays, and all the very best to you and everybody listening in. I appreciate them listening, and I look forward to being on the show again sometime.
Absolutely. Anytime. We've got an open door policy here.
Fabulous.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right. Bye-bye. Blessings to you, Stephen.
You too. Bye-bye.
And blessings to all of you. Thank you so much for coming to Awakenings and making it part of your routine, of your daily or weekly, rather, connecting and being a part of the converging flow. I appreciate all of you so much. And even those of you that have subscribed via iTunes and some of the other podcast stations, we may not see you or join with you live, but we all do feel your energy, and we feel that flow of love, light, and wisdom that is the converging flow. That is us. So as always, Awakenings is airing every Wednesday and Friday, 12 to 1:30 p.m., and you can subscribe via iTunes if you like the show and you'd like to show some appreciation on that. If you can remember to rate the show, that would be great. And there will be a rebroadcast of Awakenings on Cosmic Dimensions Radio every weekday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and also on Saturday and Sunday, and that's cosmicdimensions.com. Wishing you all much love, peace, light, and awareness. go out and have a wonderful day. And those of you overseas, a wonderful evening, sweet dreams to you. Shine your light, and until next time, keep awake. Going to hear a little Happiness by DJ Petey from moontribe.org. Shine your light and keep awake.